Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation from Sanskrit to English by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with his commentary. Chapter 18, text 65, well-known verse.
Manmana bhava madbhakto
madhyaji mang namaskuru
mame vaishyasi satyante
pratijane priyosime.
Lord Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and attain the same perfection as Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayana, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. This verse, slightly different version, comes halfway through the Bhagavad Gita, at the end of chapter 9, and here again. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, practically it is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that could be said about several verses, but we have elsewhere the statement that Smartavya satatang Vishnu, Vishmartavya nakar hijit, Savavidhi nishedasya, etayo eva kinkaraha. To always think of Vishnu, never forget him. All the rules and regulations are subservient to this regulation. So, in other words, this is the essence to always think of Krishna. This comes at the end of Bhagavad Gita. It also comes halfway through at the point where Arjuna is convinced of Krishna's instructions to him. Shortly after this, Arjuna will say, Yanman Vadasi Keshava, Sarva Metadritang Manye, Yanman Vadasi Keshava. Okay, I couldn't accept what you said, but now I'm at the point, Arjuna says, where I accept everything you say is true. This statement is about the mind to always think of Krishna, but Krishna could have said it immediately to Arjuna, but he didn't because Arjuna's intelligence was bewildered. Krishna spoke in a manner whereby Arjuna's intelligence could be put in order by proper understanding. Nashto moha smritir labdha tvat prasada maya chuta stitosmi gata sandeha kurishe vachanam tava. So Arjuna in this verse says that yes, now I'm intelligently convinced my illusion, the illusion which had spoiled my intelligence, is now gone by your mercy, and I'm ready to do what you say. I'm fixed in that. All my doubts have gone. The function of the mind is to accept or reject. I like this, I don't like that. I like this, therefore I accept it. I don't like that, I don't accept it. This is the lowest level. There are various levels. Indriyani pranyahur indriyebhya parang manaha manasastha tu parabuddhe yubuddhe paratastu saha. The platform of the mind is slightly above that of the grossly sensual. And grossly sensual platform, just like the animals, with no intelligence, the less intelligent animals, they simply act according to their senses. Therefore, they can be trapped by the senses, just as the fish is trapped by bait on a hook, or an elephant is trapped by pursuing a female elephant, and so on. The bee is trapped by the attractive smell of the flower, and so on. But if the mind is regulated by the intelligence, then one can make proper decisions. Of course, if the mind is regulated by the intelligence, but it's still basically on the platform of the senses, of how to enjoy the senses, then using the intelligence, one will make plans how to enjoy the senses in a better way than just immediately enjoying them. So thus, for instance, one may undergo the difficulty of studying some topic so that one can become qualified with a certificate or a degree, and then on the basis of that one expects to get a better job, one that pays more money, and therefore one's sense gratification will be better facilitated. So this is an example of using the intelligence to make a decision to accept or not. Immediately, if I don't do this course, then I can enjoy myself at the present level I'm at. But if I if I think about it, use my intelligence, then I can some creatures. So I can use my intelligence to decide that I'll take this course, and then it's not immediately conducive to my sense gratification, but in the long term I'll get better sense gratification. So this is an example of prayer and shreya on the mundane platform, choosing between what's immediately desirable and considering what is our higher or long-term interest. But the next to the intelligence is the soul. When this intelligence is directed by the soul, then one can properly discriminate as to what is one's best interest. And then one will choose to think of, to make the decision to think of Krishna. Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, he made the decision to think of Krishna. He might have thought, well, I'll think of Krishna anyway, but in my own way. I've decided what's best for me, and Krishna just has to give the blessing for that. That was Arjuna's attitude at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That, okay, Krishna, I got it all worked out, now you just give your blessing. This typical attitude of persons who are on the border between godlessness and godliness. They accept God as the supplier of their sense gratification. If they don't agree, then we don't believe in God. Srila Prabhupada gave that example many times. He was told by his godbrother, Sadananda, presumably, from Germany, that after, I suppose that would be the, I'm not sure whether the First World War or Second World War, but on the German side, as on the other side, people were praying to God, help us win the war, then when they lost it, then they stopped believing in God. Well, what's the use of believing in God if he doesn't do what we say? Just like I was informed yesterday, one of my disciples had written me an email, because it comes through someone else because it's written in Russian, saying, I want to install deities. And I wrote back and said, please study all my instructions on this, and basically, no. And then again wrote back and said, we'd like to do it. And again, I wrote back the same thing, and I was informed yesterday, wrote back then, said that, well, anyway, we installed them, and please forgive us. So, the guru's duty is to bless the disciple, to do whatever they think is best. Actually, the first time, or was it the second time, I wrote back and said, then you just decide what, anyway, if you don't want to follow this, then you just decide what, you decide what's best for your Krishna consciousness. In other words, you don't need a guru if you don't want to follow. Anyway, so an intelligent decision to absorb the mind in Krishna. There is a problem with this. Well, there may be many apparent problems with this. Problem is that the mind, due to long practice, doesn't just say, okay, let's think of Krishna. The mind has many things to think about, except Krishna. But we are advised to think of Krishna. Therefore, we have to take up the process of sadhana bhakti, by which we can engage in activities of remembering Krishna, to change our bad habits of not thinking of Krishna, and gradually become absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Very powerful processes of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, associating with devotees of Krishna, serving Krishna in the association of devotees. These are all the activities of sadhana bhakti. So they're very powerful for changing the consciousness. Bhajane madhe shreshta navavidha bhakti Krishna prem Krishna dite dhare mahashakti. Nine processes of devotional service, they're the best, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. They can give us Krishna prem, love of Krishna, and Krishna himself directly. So that's thinking of Krishna means anukulyena, in a manner that is favorable for Krishna service. Not thinking of Krishna as Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and others thought of Krishna. But also, thinking of Krishna doesn't only mean Leela Smaran, thinking of Krishna's pastimes. Arjuna might have thought that, oh, Krishna told me to think about him. All right, so I'll go away and sit under a tree and meditate on Krishna's pastimes, such as his fighting, assisting Arjuna to fight in the battle. But wait a minute, I have to be there. Otherwise, there's no pastime. He was part of the pastime. So for him, Leela Smaran was automatic. He was completely involved in that. But what was his remembrance of Krishna? He wasn't sitting and praising Krishna, your form is so beautiful, which is very, we're not saying that shouldn't be done, but in Arjuna's circumstance, he had to actually protect Krishna, because Krishna had taken the position of his chariot driver, and the rati, or the fighter on a chariot, has to protect the sarati, the one who drives the chariot. He has to protect him, because if the chariot driver is hit by weapons and killed, then the chariot doesn't move anymore until you get another chariot driver. So the chariot ear has to... the fighter on the chariot, he has to protect him. So Arjuna was thinking of Krishna by following Krishna's order of fighting. So thinking of Krishna doesn't only mean thinking of him in a simply on the mental or simply in the mind, but also thinking how to serve him, thinking best how to serve Krishna. We are not enjoined to join Krishna directly in a fight against the Kauravas or anyone else, but another kind of fight, a fight against Maya by engaging in the Sankirtan movement. Now, I'd like to relate one small incident which gave me some inspiration to talk on this subject. This happened a few weeks ago when I was staying in another city. Every 2 days or so, from my diary, I tear a little piece of paper from the top corner, and this helps me to find the day. I can open the diary very easily at the day I'm at. That I got that from some commercial diary had this system. I can't remember the name of it. It was popular about 25 or 30 years ago. Tear a little piece of paper, which is to be thrown away. So as my room is to be cleaned, I'm in the position of privileged position of accepting service of devotees. So they clean my room. So I put that with cloth to be washed. And then I saw shortly after that little piece of paper in the sink, in the drain, but it was too big to go down the drain. Small piece of paper. There's two, so it was caught in the drain. Okay, what's earth shattering about that? What? Why talk about such a thing? Well, it got in the drain. We can suppose, we can deduce, because someone put it there. There are other possibilities. It might have been, for instance, there was a strong gust of wind which I didn't notice, which blew it from one room to the next, and the door was open, it went in there. But almost certainly someone put it there, which would mean one of the devotees who are moving around and helping in that area. I'm not sure who it was. I didn't pursue to find out who it was. But whoever did that wasn't using their intelligence to think that, okay, it's gone in the sink. Now, if it goes down the drain, that's not a good thing to put objects of that size in the drain, because if you put more and more, gradually the drain gets blocked. And if it stays in the drain, in that, what's that called? That the sink is the. No, it's I guess it's the entrance to the drain, which is covered with a jali. It's the what's it called? Waste trap. Okay, that sounds like a good word. I never heard that before. Sounds good. In the waste trap. So someone at some point is either it will remain there for weeks and weeks and weeks and then gradually dissolve and get washed down, or there may be other pieces of dust and this and that which accumulate, which I often find. Often I find I go into places and the place is cleaned, but the drain, this waste trap is not, and I have to take out all the accumulated hairs which have accumulated over weeks and months, because unlike others, it seems, I don't like to have accumulated hairs and garbage. Others seem to be quite comfortable with it, but I don't like it. And it's tamasic. Anyway, a little piece of paper is there, and if it's not taken out, then someone else will have to take it out. That's all. Now, the alternative to putting it in the sink was to put it in the wastebasket. There was actually a wastebasket. You just have to go outside the room, and just outside there was a wastebasket. It would have taken maybe 20 seconds more time to do so. You might think, well, it's just a small thing. It is literally a small thing. It means they're not thinking how to serve Krishna in the best way. In this case, Guru. Not thinking how to serve in the best way. That effort of walking an extra 10 meters. Most probably whoever did that didn't make a conscious, they didn't think or make a conscious decision, shall I put it in here? They just put it in there, which means not using the intelligence to think how to serve Krishna in the best possible way. I guess a lot of our devotees, brahmacharis, they're used to having their mother clean up behind them at home, or they're used to living in a filthy student hostel where no one cleans anything at any time. Or they don't know what it means to serve Krishna. We have to do everything in the nicest possible way to serve Krishna. Or maybe they're just so egoistic that they think the whole world is meant to serve them. That this rascal guru engaged me in some service, but just wait. I'll become a guru. Then I'll engage all my disciples. And then I'll be in the proper position. So you may think it's a little thing. Why make a fuss? Literally, it's a little thing. That's a saying in English. It's a little thing. It means it's not a big matter. Choti baat. Hindi mein choti baat. It's not a big thing. Nothing to make a big fuss about. But it's indicative of a kind of attitude that even if we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're playing mridanga, we're dancing and jumping 10 feet in the air, we can't go back to Godhead if we're not prepared to serve Krishna in the best possible way at all times. We've heard that Yashoda Devi, she would be prepared to die a million times to wipe a little drop of perspiration that's on from Krishna's forehead that's giving him slight inconvenience. So we like to hear, oh, how nice. Nice story, how much bhakti Yashoda has got. But we're not supposed just to hear this and say this is very nice, but we're actually supposed to relate that to our life and so that we also are prepared to take some trouble. Mother Yashoda, she's prepared to take the trouble of dying a million times to remove a little trouble from Krishna. So we should also be prepared to walk an extra 10 meters and drop the little piece of paper in the bin and come back. You don't have to die a million times. So the understanding that everything must be done properly for Krishna. Thinking of Krishna, not only thinking of Krishna, but thinking how to serve Krishna. And Krishna has to be served perfectly. One incident, Yamuna Devi Dasi, who was given the service of cleaning Srila Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan. Now, in Vrindavan, as in much of North India, during much of the year, the whole atmosphere is quite dusty because it's quite dry and the soil is such that when the wind blows, which it does quite a lot, seeing as all the forests are cut down, well, that's one factor. So dust blows, and if the windows are open, doors are open, then dust tends to accumulate within the room, which is why the rooms have to be swept and cleaned at least once a day. So Yamuna, she was very conscientious about cleaning. Conscientious is an important word in English. I'm not sure if there's any term in Tamil. I wouldn't know what exactly to say in Sanskrit. Putting one's mind, being aware. Consciousness gives the word consciousness gives the general understanding of being aware in a general way. And conscientious means being aware in a very specific way. Attention to details. So, she cleaned the room very nicely, very conscientiously. Afterward, Prabhupada called her and said, "Oh, did I not train you to clean properly?" And she's saying, I cleaned everything. Behind, not just the front of the picture, behind the pictures. That's a common thing. The picture looks very nice. You look behind it and there's 6 months of dust and dirt not clean. Underneath our mirrors, cupboards. So quite often, just right there in the room, there are cobwebs. The room's supposed to be clean, but there are cobwebs and no one sees them. They're just so used to this kind of thing. So Srila Prabhupada, she was thinking, Srila Prabhupada pulled out his stapler from the cover. Stapler? You're okay with that? And opened it up. And there was a little sliver, there was a little exposed metal there with a little dust on it. Prabhupada found it and pointed it out to Yamuna. How much conscientious you have to be. So if we don't bother about these things, in many ways life is easier. Srila Prabhupada bothered about it. If we just take it easy, that's not the way to think of Krishna in a way that will qualify us to go to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada didn't get on the case of his disciples, and then there would not have been a Krishna conscious movement. We often hear nowadays how Prabhupada was so lenient and so merciful. Why is that? Why don't we hear about how he was pushing his disciples to surrender? Why is that? The lenience is a concession to the disciples' incompetence or lack of readiness to surrender, and the pushing and getting on their case and engaging them in difficult services. That is the sign of Srila Prabhupada's faith in his disciples, that they're ready to surrender and come up to a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So why nowadays we hear so much about Prabhupada's lenience and his mercy, thinking that mercy means that he lets me be at just the level I'm at. But that, then why have a guru if you just want to be at the level you're at? This whole idea, guru just gives some blessing and you just continue in the same mediocre level of consciousness. And somehow or other you become Krishna conscious. It's easier for us, but then if Krishna doesn't accept that level of service, then how are we advancing if we don't come up to the level of serving Krishna? Recently I read a description of the preparations that were made for a king. This is just for his bath in the morning, and they're all different kinds of preparations, different kinds of, all kinds of different oils and pastes, about 15 kinds of different things applied to his body. And the recipe, for some of them, there's 20 different kinds of herbs and they're processed in this way and that way. This is just for the king to take a bath in the morning. It would require about 20 people just to prepare for his bath in the morning. So that's a king. And Krishna, he has millions and millions of servants, because he has so many things to be, everything to be done perfectly for Krishna. So if you're thinking, oh no, I have to get this herb and then walk to the other side of Vrindavan, of course you can go to a desire tree and get anything you like. You know, just, okay, give this, 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 and this. Okay, thanks a lot. But generally different trees give different flowers and fruits and roots and bark. One collects them from here and then mixes them just in the right proportion and in the right way. And so if you think, oh, this is boring. Actually, the modern society is much better because you get everything already prepared in a plastic bag. And you don't have to go through all this trouble. Actually, this whole modern society, just by its nature, it makes people... Everything's too easy. No one takes any trouble to do it. Actually, they have to take so much trouble, but you get everything already made. People don't cook. They just go to some restaurant and buy something to eat. All this... all arrangement for one's own personal comfort. But the spiritual world means everyone is making arrangements for the comfort and pleasure of Radha and Krishna. So if we're not prepared to see to all the details, then we won't be qualified to go to the spiritual world. We need a complete change of consciousness of that of being in modern life. We might think that bhakti just means, well, we chant Hare Krishna and we just live as we're living and we go on and we go on at the level we're at and then all of a sudden, we get hit by a blast of prema bhakti and then that's it. And then but it's not like that. That's not the process described. The process described is gradual. Ado shadha tata sadhu sangha ata bhajana krishna. Anarata nivritti, ato anarata nivritti sent, ato nishta ruchistata, ato saktistato bhava, ato prema abhyudanchati, sadha kana mayang prema, pradur bhave bhavit krama. Describing the stages from initial faith to full development of prema, pure love of Krishna. There's stages one has to go through. Bhavit, pradur bhave bhavit krama. They manifest gradually in order. So we have to go through the different stages. But we're never going to go anywhere if we're not prepared to take the trouble to... First of all, our intelligence should awake. If we're not even thinking, oh, a little piece of... And we don't even think, just mindlessly. Maybe we're absorbed in Lila Smaran and I doubt it very much. Just drop a little piece of paper in the drain. So we're not going to go anywhere. There are so many courses now, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibha. I'd like to see the devotees coming out of these courses and doing some serious surrendered service. Go out on book distribution, work hard to serve Krishna. Otherwise, it's just learning, learning, learning. Oh, I got to top of the class and... But where's the practical application? Vidya without vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yogam shikshartam ekam purushapurana. Shri Krishna chaitanya sharir dhari kripambhati yastamaham papadye. Savabhoma Bhattacharya described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ocean of mercy who has come to give bhakti to himself, which is imbued with knowledge and with vairagya, or non-attachment. Sometimes it's translated as renunciation. So it's a ridiculous, nonsensical combination that we get knowledge of bhakti, but at the same time we think we'll go on living very comfortably and nicely on our own terms and conditions, and then we become advanced. And we think advance means to get a big position or others praise us. We have a group, all devotees, all praising each other. But there has to be actual detachment from this material world. Otherwise, there's no advancement. So things like this, a little thing like this, throwing the paper in the drain, it indicates that the intelligence is not alive how to please Krishna, how to serve Krishna in the best possible way. One's doing it like a machine. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, okay, that's right. Anyway, might have thought about it. I think, what is it? A small thing. But that little small thing, that attitude means that we're not thinking how to please Krishna. This Manmana Bhava Madhbhakta, this comes at the end, halfway through Bhagavad Gita when Krishna has explained so many things, and then again at the end when he's explained so many other things. So it's actually a very advanced level compared to the Karmis, Gyanis, Yogis, who are also described in the first part of, well, actually throughout the Bhagavad Gita. So, I'm not saying we shouldn't study this Shastra, but it has to be connected to actual life also. It's not just something that we study and it's all theoretical. Krishna consciousness means consciousness. Our intelligence has to be alive, working. We may think, oh, intelligence. I learned so many verses, I'm very intelligent. Well, that's one aspect of intelligence, but another aspect of intelligence is to always be alert how to serve Krishna properly. That's why in any responsible position, there's theoretical training and then practical training, and one isn't given responsibility without being seen that one knows how to apply the practical, the theoretical training. For instance, to be a doctor, there's a lot of theoretical knowledge is required to be a doctor, but there's also practical training. There's internship. Before you're allowed to treat patients on your own, you're supervised by an experienced doctor that you're actually competent to. Well, first of all, the supervision is to show how to apply that theoretical knowledge practically, and then it's seen that you're competent to do so. To drive a train, there's some theoretical knowledge, and then you become an assistant in the train. You drive with the train driver. I know one train driver explained to me once, we were going from Howrah to Puri, and the group of devotees, and the train driver called me into the cabin from Howrah to Kharagpur, which I guess he shouldn't have done, but he did. And he explained to me how, first of all, they get, the drivers, they get some theoretical training, then they do shunting in the yard, and then they do local, then they do freight trains, then they do passenger trains, and then they can do express trains, and like this, there's a gradual order. Not that you're just, I read the manual on how to drive a train. Now I'm ready to drive the Rajdhani Express from Delhi to Bombay. But there has to be some practical training to see that one is actually competent. One has to use one's intelligence and train. For instance, driving a train, you have to use your intelligence. You see something up ahead. You're not sure what it is, not clear what it is. Okay, what should I do? Maybe I should just stop the train. It may mean the whole train schedule is delayed and all the other trains get delayed also, but you have to make a decision. For a doctor also, he's a much more complex profession, dealing with a very complex body and mind, and so many decisions he has to make. He has to use his intelligence. He has to be alert. That's a symptom of intelligence. The intelligence always has to be alert. So, same thing then in Krishna consciousness. We may say, why accept a guru? We can just read the books by ourselves. That seems to be quite prominent in our movement at the present time, this do-it-yourself bhakti. You just read some books and then you go to some course in which you have no commitment to the teacher, nor the teacher has any commitment to you, other than the only commitment is that you pay your money And then if you want to go through the course, you have to do your homework and this and that. But there's no personal involvement. Traditionally, then the guru has to teach not just philosophy, that must be there, but practical application has to mold the disciple away from the indifference to Krishna. Krishna bahimukhaya, being indifferent to Krishna, to being sevanmukh, to be desirous to serve. This is the real standard of bhakti. Actually, lila smaran, that's all very nice. You can imagine or visualize is maybe a more accurate word if one's actually following the process of lila smaran. One can visualize one's position in the lila of Radha and Krishna fetching water from the Yamuna or this and that. But right here in this world, there are things for serving Krishna also. We can be visualizing bringing water from the Yamuna to serve Radha and Krishna. But right here in this world, there's so much service to do, and we're neglecting all that because we're so absorbed in the internal lila that we're so... training is required. Training is required. But Brahmachari life especially is meant for training. But one has to submit to that. To agree to be trained and to have the attitude to want to be trained. It's something like joining the army. Once you're in the army, you just have to follow the discipline. They're training you so that you can go and fight. It's a very serious business. So the brahmachari is being trained to fight against maya. And as in the army, there's just orders you follow, that's all. There's no question. Follow or not follow, do I like this, do I don't? There's no question. So in this way, the mind is conquered. The mind of the brahmachari is conquered because he takes orders from a higher level. Instead of taking orders from his mind, what I want to do, his intelligence is submitted to the guru, who says, do this, do that. And of course, he may have to use his intelligence also. He should use his intelligence to understand why he's doing what he's doing. In certain circumstances, he may have to... the guru may not be present all the time, so he may have to decide, make some decision what to do and how to serve the guru. But basically, he's under orders, rules and regulations, which help him to... a very great help in controlling the mind and directing the mind in the proper way for serving Krishna. So it all might seem very strict and extreme, this life of great dedication, but it is required. Without that, the mind cannot be conquered. The mind will always remain on the platform of, what do I like? What do I want to do? From the materialistic point of view, surrendering to Krishna, it is extreme, but that is required. Rules and regulations are and life of discipline, that is required. Otherwise, we may be very comfortable and say, yes, I'm doing Krishna consciousness very nicely, but basically we're on the mental platform. We do what we like to do. So brahmachari means he submits for training. He has to be trainable, which means he submits himself. Doesn't submit himself, then where's the training? Of course, householder has to submit himself also, but there's so many extraneous considerations in his life that it's... he can't, at least in terms of activity, can't surrender in the same way that a brahmachari can. So this idea that of a guru who just makes you feel good, this is some idea that makes you feel nice, just, oh yeah, you feel comfortable and feel very nice, and on that platform you chant Hare Krishna. This is some idea invented by some Shudras who just, on the sensual platform, that's all. Shudra means just sensual platform, no intelligence. So, or females... female is the In this world, female is the embodiment of sense enjoyment. This stri means one who expands the field of material enjoyment. So again, the female has to be under the control of the male, who is under the control of the guru. In this way, the wild intelligence is, the wild mind is controlled by a higher intelligence in how to serve Krishna. There's no question of, I want to do this, I want to do that. I means my big false ego. But I submit myself as a disciple to serve Krishna in the parampara system. Then the false ego is subdued. Then the intelligence is submit. By intelligence we submit. And we submit to accept what we are told to do. So this idea that the guru just makes you feel nice and makes you feel good, this is completely spoils the understanding of what it actually means to be a guru or to be a disciple. Ultimately you'll feel good, but you have to stop. We have to stop trying to feel good on the material platform. If we think the guru is some... First of all, we make our material situation very comfortable, and then we'll chant Hare Krishna. This is completely a ridiculous proposition, because there's no feeling good on the material. The whole prospect of trying to be happy in this material world is ridiculous. And if we do feel happy in this material world, then there's no impetus to become Krishna conscious anyway. So, Brahmachari is a student. He's in the Gurukul. The school is for transmission of knowledge. But first of all, there has to be this obedience, submission, willingness to serve, the desire to learn and to serve. This whole idea of modern schools where you go and you pay some fees or the government arranges, you go in, you learn something, you come out, it's completely spoiled. The whole ethos or the whole understanding of education is completely spoiled by this mundane schools in which there's no character building. The children have to follow some rules just in as much as they don't disturb the class and then they don't disturb the teachers, but practically they're just living like animals. So this whole idea, you just go to school and you learn something, but there's no major effort for character building. Of course, it used to be, I don't know if it's still like that, but if the children are smoking in the school premises, then that's considered something very wrong. It's probably still like that in Ceylon. I'm not sure if it's like that in Bombay or even in England for that matter. I don't know what it is, but the main thing in education is character building, that one can discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. He knows what is right and he is committed to act in the right way. And then there's transmission of knowledge. Otherwise, just to give knowledge to people who are not interested in improving their character, they will misuse that knowledge. And even if that knowledge is of Krishna consciousness, they'll take that knowledge and say, I'm Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, this, that. And they'll use it to promote themselves, not to serve Krishna. So first we have to see if someone is prepared to be a disciple. First of all, okay, you want to join, want to be a Brahmin? Okay, first, go wash the pots. And next day, go wash the pots. Next day, go wash the pots. You will do that, you see, if you're prepared. You're prepared to accept the discipline? Then we'll see. Because daily classes will go on. We have to see if one has the desire to actually submit oneself and the faith that by doing so, one will be actually benefited in the best possible way. So thinking of Krishna, we may think, well, manmana, always thinking of Krishna. Thinking of Krishna means thinking of Krishna's pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna. But right now we need to learn to put the paper in the bin and serve Krishna in all ways. It's not just a matter of putting the paper in the bin, but understanding the attitude behind it. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing anything? We're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna wants every little thing. Krishna sees every little thing. Krishna sees everything in all kinds of different services. That's why Srila Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. Due to modern education and the whole modern way of life, people are largely untrainable because the parents, they don't teach the children anything. The schools are not allowed to discipline the children, practically. And the whole aim of life has come down to animal or lower than animal level, where just the pursuit of sense gratification is the goal of everyone. So people, they're not used to discipline. They're not used to being corrected. Even if the teacher or even the parent tries to discipline the child, they may be arrested for doing so. It's such an absolutely bizarre and absurd and totally insane society. So it's very difficult to discipline people. Even maybe not yet in India, but in America, I heard one of my godbrothers who's initiating there, he said that gurus in America have to be careful, because if they chastise their disciple or try to train them, then their disciple may make a court case against them and sue them for psychological torture or some. It's so totally insane. So it's very difficult in an age when there's no discipline, but at least one should begin to understand that without this, there's no progress. Without accepting external discipline and internal discipline. It's not that all your life you're expected that someone's standing over you with a stick. One has to accept that I have to discipline myself. I have to learn to... External discipline is to help us to internalize the kind of discipline by which we choose always to do the best thing for Krishna, not for my own comfort or sense gratification. Without this, then even building temples and distributing so many books, it's not going to help the world very much unless there are devotees who are able to exemplify, embody, personify that the attitude of surrender to Krishna. We saw Srila Prabhupada. He spoke about pure devotional service and he lived it at every moment, giving Krishna te kila chishta. Everything he did was only for the pleasure of Krishna. So we saw that. So devotees have to exemplify that. Otherwise, in a formal way, if we install deities and then people come and we take some money from them, it can go on in a formal way. And of course, that's also good, but it's not going to impart the spirit of pure devotional service which Srila Prabhupada came to this world to impart to us. So this temple construction is going on. Devotees are very eager for calling Radha and Krishna to be served here. But we have to make not only the building ready, but for them to come. The building is not yet ready, so it's not ready to call Radha and Krishna here to be served. But we also have to make ourselves ready, which means not only learning how to do deity worship, how you offer arati so many times, You offer four times in circles at the feet, and then two times around the navel, and three times around the face, and then seven times around the body. We can learn all the formulae for worshipping the deities. But our whole attitude of wanting to serve Krishna down to the minutest detail. Of course, that also requires use of intelligence, because we might spend 3 hours cleaning a little spot, and in the meantime, all the bhog offering and the aarti stop. So, intelligence is always required in the service of Krishna. But ready ourselves. We have to be ready to serve Krishna in the best possible way. And also that it takes time for the building to be built. That also means we have to prepare the people of this city and the district and all the surrounding areas. They also, as far as possible, they have to be made aware this temple is coming up. You are to come here and take Krishna's prasadam and serve Krishna. That this temple is supposed to, the temple comes alive by the activities of the devotees in engaging others in the service of Krishna, imparting to them the spirit of service to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada mercifully translated this Bhagavad Gita as it is, this instruction to Arjuna to always think of him. He wanted to give that to the whole world. So you're going out and distributing these books, giving this message that everyone should think of Krishna. And they expect, if people get these books, they expect to come to a center where the principles in the books are exemplified. They don't expect to come to a temple and it's just like some business or office or where there's such high principles in our books, and people should live that. Then it becomes very convincing. I know myself that before I ever in this lifetime went to a temple of Krishna, I read Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, volume 2. It was volume 2 at that time, published in three parts. And I read the book and I thought it was very nice. But I doubted if there was anyone who was living according to these principles. But I thought, anyway, I should go and see. I can't just reject without seeing. But I went skeptically, and I was very pleasantly surprised to find out that the devotees were actually living according to the principle in the book, and that was very convincing to me. Convincing enough that I asked to join their company, and they very kindly allowed me. So, outside and inside, what we speak and how we act, this should be the same. Of course, we're trying to come to the level of pure devotion. So we speak on the level of pure devotion. Our present situation, it's understood. We may not be up to that level, but we're looking up. We're trying to go up. Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padang Sada Pashyanti Suryo Diviva Chakshuratatam. Looking up to the spiritual world. So, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Does anyone have any question? All right, Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.